own relationship with my own father, and then thought, okay, there were some flaws in that, so how am I going to see this God as a loving father towards me? And then as I look back and I think of it, I see all these beautiful doors of grace that have opened as I started to discover his love for me, that took me straight into rest. So I know he loves me. And then how do I attain this rest that grace has come to bring me? And recently, the beautiful part in Ephesians 2, verse 4, tells us about this intense love, intense affection that he had for me. So I look back and I think, okay, Lord, this year you have met every lack financially that I have needed. This year, you have restored marriage where we don't even argue anymore. We call them concerns now. We call them opinions, and we come to an agreement. And he did that. That's another door he opened for grace for us. You know, he brought me into this rest where I am seeing and hearing about children coming into people's lives. And I know that that is one door that I will open one day. You know? So I am so, so pleased that this transition into grace and staying in grace now. In worship earlier, the songs were almost like, now I don't have to stir up this faith. I sing these songs and they're in there. He resides in me. You know, as the song today that really opened my eyes was, as we come into his presence, past the gate, no longer anything I need to do to get right, to walk into his presence. I can do it boldly. We can do it boldly. And so I am so, so grateful that we have an opportunity where we can now share and talk about the aspects of grace that have truly changed our lives. So, Lord, I thank you that I am favored. I am loved. That, Lord, I don't need to fix myself. I just abide in you. That I don't need to get right. You made me righteous. Lord, that I don't need to think of my sin consciousness. You've washed it away and you've forgotten it. So, Lord, as I stand in you, I am your beloved daughter and you are my father. And I love you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, church.
Yay, Henry. Good morning, highly favored of the Lord. Good morning, good morning. Yeah, every time my wife comes up here, it tends to make me cry. No, but it's the Jesus in her that I see, amen. And that's what I'm talking about today, family, is seeing Jesus and transformation coming through. Seeing the transformation of abiding in Jesus coming through in your lives. We are all highly favored of the Lord, but we still are in this world. So we face consequences, we face problems, we face certain situations that we come up against. But I just want to encourage you guys today that what we see, not who we look to, looking and seeing are two different things. Now you can look, I can look, but I don't see the truth behind the verses. Now I can look, but I don't see the Jesus working behind the situations. So it's just seeing Jesus is very important. And Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, just after Jesus rose from the dead, it's got the 7-mile Bible story of the Emmaus walk. And I want to say to the Lord when I get up there, Lord, I want to know what was in that. I want to get that DVD of the Emmaus walk. Now I want to see all the gems that you showed these guys. But praise God, the more we see Jesus, the more he unravels these gems to us. We see him in his word. We see him in the sermons. We see him in each other. We see him in relationships. We see, even though a person might not, you might not be very happy with this person, but seeing Jesus in this person is actually transforming that person in your eyes as well as you in this person's eyes. You know, the continuously seeing Jesus is transforming us from glory to glory. We had been transformed from glory to glory. And it said that when they had this 7-mile Bible study walking to Emmaus, they're walking away from Jerusalem. So they're actually walking away from what the Lord has set for them, because the Lord had told them, wait for me there. You will receive the promise. But these guys were on their way, Mr. and Mrs. Cleopas. And it seems like that in relationships. My wife and I sometimes seem like we're getting further away from Jesus. But that's because we haven't been keeping our eye on Jesus. And it says that, and on this 7-mile Bible study, they were walking, and Jesus was expounding things to them. You know, even though Jesus was there, they couldn't see him. But it was more important for Jesus to expound himself in the word of God throughout the whole book than for them to see him in person. So it's actually seeing Jesus deep in our spirit that brings transformation. And it says that we're being transformed from glory to glory. That word transformed there is the same word for transfiguration. You know, and there was one time on the mountain, Jesus was taken up with Elijah and Moses there. Now that kind of transformation happens to us when we only look at Jesus. Not when we look at when I look to my wife. You know, I can get transformed, but sometimes, like she says, we have, I don't know, what did you use? Concerns. I say discrepancies. You know, but that's the truth, family. That's the aspect of grace I want to share today. Continue to see Jesus in your everyday lives. Because when you continue to see Jesus, you're continually expecting good things. And when you're continually expecting good things, you know the Father's heart. And that's only good things towards us. For his heart is to bless us. Amen. And it's not to curse us. His heart is to uplift each and every single one of us here today. So I just want to thank God for this time. And it's been awesome, this journey. He's really uplifted us. So praise God. Amen.
I'm a bit nervous, but early this year when we came here to this church, we don't know anybody at all. And my husband, Paul, encouraged us as a family to come to this church, and Pastor Percy welcomed us, very warm welcome. And through a few weeks later, Paul saying to me, what about joining to Bible school? He encouraged me to do that. For me, he encouraged me doing that sort of, oh, Lord, you got to help me. But Lord, he's been very faithful and good to our lives, you know. Every year, Paul will write a list, you know, and saying, Lord, such and such, whatever what we want to accomplish for that year, Paul will write it down and title it or name it. But this year, Paul mentioned much more, abundant supply, abundance of grace. And when Paul mentioned, come, let's go to this church, hear the grace message, and my heart was just, wow, Lord, you know, been going to the school with Pastor Percy, teaching us the grace message of God, learning the word of God through the grace eyes. And it's really much more abundant supply of grace that when Paul and I, you know, we're receiving that inheritance from the Lord, knowing that he loves us, knowing that we are highly favored, and our mind is being renewed, you know, right believing. Right teaching leading you to right believing, and right believing leading you to right living. So Paul and I spiritually, really, and thanking the Lord to Pastor Percy and his lovely wife, Diane, that he really, you know, and really, you know, as when I was going to listening to Pastor Percy, it's just like, Lord, I thank you that I'm hearing your word, that I'm like the disciples, sitting, listening, yielding to the word of God, to the word of Jesus. And you know, when they're in the, they never lack anything. They always have supply. Every demand, wherever Jesus goes, Jesus healing the people, the healing is supplied. Yes. They feed 5,000 people beside women and children. The disciple, you know, two of the disciples, they said, oh, we only have 2 fishes and 5 bread of loaves. And Jesus did not look at those. he look up to the heaven and give thanks to the Father and say, thank you, Father. Yes. Thank you, Father, you supply. So everyone eaten, everyone have supply of need, everyone satisfied, and there's more left over. 12 pull of baskets of bread. Isn't it awesome that the Lord supply our needs? When we need something, Lord, you supply. Lord, we thank you. But because it's you, Lord, that we are standing. I am not righteous because I did good. I am righteous because of his perfect and completed works on the cross. And I thank you, Father, for Paul and I, much more abundant, the supply of your words into our lives. Yeah. It's so wonderful, Lord. And now we have family. We have favor upon favor, meeting all these different people. And we are highly favored, greatly blessed, and deeply loved by you, Father. I thank you, Father.
Yeah, the year of much more. It's actually in the book of Romans chapter 5, and it says it's five times much more. It says much more grace, much more Jesus paid, much more. And Jesus didn't just meet the requirements of sin, he actually overpaid. And if in his death, dying while we were sinners, he paid the bill, how much more will he save us in his life? And so I was getting all these truths this year. Look, there's so much I could talk about, the relationships with Dan and Tui and Henry and these awesome connect group meetings with the Holy Spirit showing up and Steve prophesying over us and visions happening. And then you don't understand, Geraldine was put off her work and we had a big legal battle with the work. And so when Gina's up here saying about his supply and abundance, you've got to realise the family finances were under pressure. So when we're saying much more, we're real, like this is rubber on the road sort of stuff. And we have seen God's goodness to us this year. Like, I have not been diminished. I looked at all my tax returns and that. I'm not diminished. We somehow we made it through and I got to go on Tuesday to hang out with Diane and Percy and all you nice people. It just worked out. Now, I like it like this. I go through our accounts and all of us have bills. And so I'm reconciling the credit card account with how much is in the account. And I go through. And when I get at the end and the bill's fully covered and paid, for me, in my conscience, I'm satisfied and happy. I go down to Geraldine in the kitchen. I hold her hand. Dear, guess what? We've made it this month. All the bills are paid for. We owe no one nothing. It's great. But in her mind, she says, is there leftovers? Right? Is there leftovers? And I say, yes, dear, there's leftovers. For me, I'm just satisfied that the bill's paid. For her, she's thinking of the handbag in the department store. She's thinking of the shoes, the earrings. But isn't that what our God is like? And so this year, we just when I came here and I saw that the theme of the year was abundance, it just something in my spirit lit up. He's the God of much more. He's the God of abundance. And he overpaid the bill. And he's so generous. And just allowing that thought and that truth to wash over you deals with your stinginess. Deals with your stinginess. And I've got to honour you, Pastor Percy, of your kindness, of the way you do things. Of like when I first came here, he took me to lunch. And that was very generous of you. And that was a good modelling of an example. I know he just does it. It's the overflow of his heart. But when we experience God's overflow towards us, it does deal with our stinginess. And it makes you a much generous purpose. Not that you're doing it to try to please God or to please people or because you got to. It's just an overflow of this new life in Christ that we have. You know, grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. He paid the bill, he did it all, and we enjoy the richness of it. Look, I could go on for hours, so I'll stop there.
Well done. Next Sunday afternoon, we're having a baptism. So those of you, and it's going to be at 2 o'clock, And Ming and Connie's house is where?
662 Grieve Road, Rochdale.
662 Grieve. How do you spell it?
G-R-I-E-V-E.
Grieve. Not grief. Grieve Road. So talk to me and I'll give you all the particulars. And going to get baptized next Sunday. Isn't that exciting? Yeah, it's just exciting. Really exciting. Connie, would you like to come and share with us? So we've got people from all around the world in Australia. Yeah. They've been in Australia a long time. How many years?
22 years.
22 years.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Much more. Really much more. So I just joined Bible school for half a year. But since we received the gospel of grace, we see our relationship grow much more. So our marriage relationship has been good. Now it's even better. Our relationship with our children has been good, but now even better. It's really much more, much more. Another aspect of much more, and for this half a year of really studying the Bible, learning from Percy and Diane and the ministry, ministers of grace, and I just learned so much more. So for the past 35 years, I've been reading the Bible every day and went to countless Bible studies and even led Bible studies. But just recently, Ming and I just said, really? It was in the Bible. Why didn't we see it? We just start to see it. We just start to know the Bible only in this half a year. So it's really much more than what we have read for the last 35 years. So that is just amazing. Anyway, wow, where's the key? How come? Because 35 years is not a short time. And what makes this half a year makes so much different for the long time that we put in so much effort in. So I just summarized a few keys. The first key is have the grace lens. Now we read the Bible with the lens, with the perspective, God's grace. So it makes it so much different. And then when I received a gift, this is a gift from a Japanese girl. You know, Japanese are very good at origami. So she stayed with me about a year, and then when she left, she gave this to me. And this box, inside there are 20 boxes. 20 boxes. So it takes a while to open it, one by one. So 20 boxes in this box. So down to the smallest one is a heart inside. So she just wanted to show me, you know, how much she appreciates and the love, you know. And when I just thinking of this, you know, God just opened out my eyes to see the Word of God. It's like taking off some wrapping paper. You know, it's layer by layer, open it, layer by layer. And I feel that in these 6 months, what I learned is it's so important to know the background of the one who wrote the Bible, you know, like Paul and John and Luke. And when they are not just writing out of vacuum or out of the culture that we are in today. That's why I didn't understand. So when I understand the author, why they wrote this with the social background, religious background, political background, cultural background, geographical background, it helped me understand much more. So it's like peering off, you know, and helped me to go deeper and deeper, understand why he said this. And when Paul was in chains, and when he said, I kneel down, there's a kneel down, we just say, well, we always kneel down to pray. But we didn't understand Paul was in chain with a soldier, as in a dungeon, you know, condition, rags everywhere. No, you just get back into Paul's headspace to understand what he was writing. Wow, it gives you so much, you know, so much meaning. So I find it so good. Just like last week, Percy shared about Ephesus. The city of Ephesus was a city of wealth, where people are very rich there, and their temple of Diana, you know, with all this background, and you look at the book to understand we are the temple of God and we are rich in Christ. So with that kind of cultural understanding, it really opened up. And another key was learning the Greek word. I've been reading the Chinese Bible for the first 15 years of my Christian life. So I read the Chinese Bible, and after I came here for the last 22 years in Australia, I read the English Bible. And in these 6 months, I learned a bit of Greek, which is the Bible was originally written. So, and I found that, wow, the English has missed quite a bit of the Greek meaning. And but the good thing about English Bible is they have many versions, so it can supplement each other. But the Chinese is even worse, because the Chinese was translated from the English one. And the Chinese version lost so much of the meaning. So I just, wow, another peeling off, no? Like this box, no? Another box peeling off, and then, wow, I get deeper into the heart of God. So it's like, you know, the Word of God has really helped me to get into the heart of God, and I understand His heart much more, and His heart is really full of love and grace. Thank you.
Yeah, I've been in Australia for a long time. 22 years, I was... at the beginning, I involved in... because I know that our life is to serve the Lord. So every church I went to, I commit myself. For the last 10 years, I commit in the Chinese Christian church there. I was elders there. So during the time there, I was really... come to a time, I was really dry. And I supposed to be looking after the people there, but I feel deep inside I really dry. So came to a point, thanks the Lord, I heard about Joseph's message when I was in Hillsong, only once. That happened only once for the video. And then I when I heard of his message, I felt something deep that I never heard of. And since then I start, I think only happened last September or something. And I start watching more his sermon in YouTube, and find that really bring me to the Lord, what he has done. So it's not something, he's not teaching you something you never heard of, but it's all in the Bible. But why I couldn't see, but it just brought me to where I should focus on. And I'm so glad that come to your point. There's a time of an Israel trip that they're promoting. So I have been looking forward to go to Israel for a long time, but I told the God, there is the time for us to go. Such a good time for us to join them. So I went along, feel so much blessed by what we see and Christian fellowship, especially the 3 days Joseph Prince was preaching over there in open space. So since then, when I came back, I decided... The Lord put me, I should not stay as the same as before. God put me into this church. So I first read a new creation, actually man was there. I met him over there. I didn't know he was there in the same trip. I met him in the breakfast, and then he told me there's a new creation, just couldn't be. I was here for 5 years, every day, because my daughter playing tennis.
At the tennis center.
Yeah, tennis center. No, impossible. No, impossible. And then I searched the net and then saw, oh, yeah, there's a new Christian church. Of course, at that time, I want to come, but I have question mark because some people, same name may not be same message. So I came and I heard this message. I feel really blessed. And straight away, I asked Percy whether I could join the Bible class. So I never experienced such a best time when I went there. And everything free. No, always something. Well, offer you have to pay something, but everything is free. Free lunch, free book, everything is free. And we are so welcome. No, first day I went there, I was so well fed. I just couldn't believe it. That's why from the first day, I always ask Connie, join me. And then at that time, she was busy. Every time I come to join together. I think the message itself is so simple. But we're missing all the time. From beginning till now, is what we are concentrate, focus on is not what he has done. We focus on what we could do to please the Lord. No way we can please the Lord. In the old message, I always heard out 100 people, it said, always say 100% God and 100% man. That means we have to play a part. No, he has done everything. We cannot do anything to please him. Yes. What we can do is just receive with a heart, appreciate what God has done for us. That's enough. There's so much that we can enjoy every day, all by His abundant grace. The more we read the Bible, the more our Father, our God, is so good. We cannot stop praising Him, receiving every goodness from Him, and that show His glory through us. Thanks.
Congratulations, bro. We would like Eileen. Can you come? Eileen's supposed to have been preaching today over at Russell Island, but she hurt her hand, and so she just decided to stay back and get her certificate. You all right? I'll get her all this.
Just wanted you to know that I didn't get my license at Woolworths. I was riding a scooter when this happened, a disability scooter, and I took half the shelves with me and broke a few bones. Okay, but isn't God good?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, as I've been at college this year, I just thought, what about all those years that I studied the Word? And I thought I understood it, and then all of a sudden I realised it was a different... it was different to what I ever knew. And this last few weeks, we've been listening to Diane and Person has been preaching on Ephesians, which has been wonderful. I mean, I've read it, but, you know, there were some things that I had not really seen. And that's the thing, that God has opened my eyes to realise that that which I had was dry chaff, and that He's going to do something fresh and new in my heart all the time. And the exciting part of it is, this week I read the scripture that said that in Ephesians that we have an inheritance, and the earnest of our inheritance. And as we studied all that, it said that meant that was the deposit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But it was like an engagement ring, and I thought, well, I've been married a couple of times and never had one engagement ring, but I've got one Holy Spirit, and so that's exciting. But I just thought Daniel must have taken that too and thought that's not a bad idea. But it's been wonderful to be in the class this year and with so many people caring for us. But, you know, one scripture that God spoke to me about, and I'm going to read it so I won't make any mistakes, you know. But it says that you, and this is you, not just me, but you are a chosen generation. Amen. Hallelujah. A royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people, that He has sent you forth, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and displays and virtues and perfections of Him who has called you out of darkness and into His marvellous light. And I thought that I would just also mention one Greek word, but I think I left that Greek word over on the paper. So I can't, because Perse has been teaching us this year about the meanings of the words, and that was exciting to me, because even though I couldn't say them, I really had a brand new understanding of what that particular sentence was in the scripture. So I want to encourage you all to get into the Greek words, to learn so much more. And this year has been an exciting time for me. It has been a bit of pressure because I'm not 21, in case some of you weren't sure about that. But I just wanted you to know that God has done a work in my heart, and that we don't have to work for it anymore, that it just pours in and pours in. And, you know, God is so good, and I'm even looking forward to next year. So I'm hoping that there's still room in the house for me there. And I'm believing that God is going to do a greater thing, and that my latter days are going to be greater than my former days in the Holy Ghost. And, yes, okay, my kids tell me I can talk underwater, and I brought one of them with me today to prove that. An actual fact, yes, I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done and how you've transformed me, Lord, and how you have made me one of the in people. And so today I want you to know you are a different person to what you were 6 months ago because of the great things that God has done. And I'm encouraged with young Jonathan here coming today, because I'm a North Queenslander. So that North Queensland is heavy in my heart to know of all the things that God needs to do for and through the people up there. So I just believe like a tidal wave is grace going to go right through and right through to up to North Queensland and to see the people up there who have been the forgotten North for so many years. But God is about to do a new thing. Hallelujah. So I encourage all of you and bless you all. Thank you, Pastor Purse.
Now, you know, Eileen is into your 80s, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, so 83. Isn't that just amazing? Now, she was a Pentecostal pastor for many, many years. And so she came and found out about grace. And I remember she came from Bribie Island where she had a house and retired. And I remember she sat in Narangbar. At some of our Narangba, give them a hand, they're here today. It's fantastic. And sat up there at John and Patsy's house, and I remember looking at this senior person, and I looked at her, and I remember I saw something like light bulb just start to go on. And then there was another old lady who gave her testimony. That was a good friend. They have been friends. They are husbands of for 40 years. Leone, her name is. And she can't come today because she doesn't have transport. And she's been coming to our Bible school for about half the year. And she was told that she had very bad cancer just the last few weeks. And she didn't want to tell her family. And she didn't want to have any, she didn't want to have any treatment at all, chemo or anything. And she said, I've been listening to all this grace. And she said, Percy, you know, and Eileen told me that she was a true blue, strong girl in the Lord. And she got up on Friday, and she told us on Friday, she said, I went to the doctor, got all my scans done. She said, there's no trace of cancer left in my body. Isn't that fantastic? Fantastic. Fantastic. I loved her to come down. Yeah. So she's a really good friend. So, you know, for Eileen to come down from Bribie, and she's left her retirement, like Jude is going to come in a moment. She's left her retirement down the coast and come up here to be with us. But she's come down to be with us and be a musician. She's a jazz musician by profession. She's a jazz musician, and also she's going to be pastoring one of our Grace churches. She's an extremely good preacher, extremely good preacher. And so I really appreciate all the things that Eileen has said to us today. It's not my turn to speak, so I won't take it. So Jude, where are you, Jude? Oh, there you are. Let's give Jude a hand as she comes.
Thank you so much. And what a hard act to follow. How could you follow a lady like that, so full of grace and so full of the glory of the Lord? Yes. Not only have you got international people here, but you've got all ages. And we've all got a story to tell. And as Pastor Percy, I always refer to him as Pastor Percy. He would prefer Purse, but, you know, it's what we've had all along. So anyway, as he told you, we worked together, and I was part of the ministry many, many years ago. And what has grace done for me? What has grace done? Grace is new to me, relatively new. I've gotten to the age where I've come through a number of different types of teaching, always walking with the Lord, being fortunate to have been brought up in a Christian family, knowing the Lord, walking with the Lord, and coming right through the same as what some of what Eileen has done through the Pentecostals and up to where I am right now. Or should I say where I was 12 months ago? 12 months ago, living on the coast, being on the coast because that was where my daughter and her husband and my two granddaughters, one of whom they had grew. And just during discussion one night, the Sri Lankan people mentioned the teachings of Pastor Prince. And I had never heard of him, never. And they offered to the group some of the messages of Pastor Prince. And they actually offered it to my son-in-law. Well, my son-in-law is in business. And as I was leaving, he said, "Hey, Jude," he calls me Jude, "Hey, Jude, I don't really have time to look at these. Would you like to have a look at them?" And, okay, you know, took it home. Well, it just like, I couldn't believe it. This message that was coming through, what did grace do for me in the long term? Grace took away the striving. It gave me peace. It gave me rest. But it was a process, because there I am hearing something quite different there and then to what, you know, to what I was totally believing in. I'd come through the faith message, very strong in faith, walked with the Lord, have communion with the Lord. I journal with the Lord. But I was still striving. I was still working. I was still believing I had to do this big long list that I was never achieving, falling short, missing the mark, as the Apostle Paul said. Do you know? And then I started to feast on it. I said to Gary, my son-in-law, "That message is great. You ought to get in there. You know, you need to have this back, but not until I'm finished with it." So I was very blessed. Being retired, I had the time to sit, and I hit that YouTube real fast. I was on YouTube every day, as many messages as I could get that were coming out of Pastor Prince's ministry. And then, long story short, I've got to make it quick because I know Diane will cut me off. I thought there was a change in movement, and my daughter and son-in-law were going to shift elsewhere. And they said to me, "Do you want to come with us?" And, you know, how many of you here know that God has a plan for you? And that it just comes out of the sky. And I said, "Well, I'd like to." I had discovered that there was a new creation church in Brisbane. And much to my delight, I also discovered that it was with Pastor Percy Campbell. And I said to my daughter, "You know what? I think I should go back to Brisbane." I had been in Brisbane previously. And I said, "I think I'd like to go back to Brisbane because I've been on YouTube and I've seen that Pastor Percy has New Creation Church in Brisbane." And I had read his testimony, and his testimony meant so much to me, because he said in that testimony that I read that you cried for 3 months when you discovered the truth of grace. I thought, that is beautiful. So I know exactly where I'm going. I'm going back to Brisbane. I'm going to fellowship with Pastor Percy. And God just simply opened doors from then on. I would take the whole hour to tell you all the blessings, like from being able to close up my housing and accommodation on the Gold Coast and buying a little place up here, and how blessed and how everything happened. As soon as I opened my heart, God opened the doors. And I just followed through. And you know what? I haven't put a step wrong, because he's opened it so wide. It's like blinking lights. "Jude, this is where you should be. This is what you should be doing." And, well, the rest is history. Here I am in this beautiful family, this multicultural, all ages, all sizes, all type family, and loving every minute of it. Thank you. and he's a man of God.
Thank you. Yes, it's wonderful to be here together. Amen. First of all, I want to give glory to God. Let's just give the Lord a mighty hand. Amen. And also want to give a hand to, you know, such a wonderful, wonderful pastor that we have. Yes. Pastor Percy and Pastor Diane. Yes. Oh, wonderful. So privileged to be here. Such an honor to be amongst this family. One thing I've always said is to recognize where you're at the time you're in, with the people you're with. This is how God moves you in the Spirit. Amen. You know, God speaks something way before the world began, and here we are. We are here to celebrate the finished work of Jesus. It's such an honor to know how close you are with God and how close and utterly loved you are by Him. I have been a Christian for quite a while, maybe 20 years, but coming to understand what grace is, the gospel of Jesus, like that John 1:17, that He's so full of grace and truth. They cannot be separated. Truth expounds the grace of who God is in the person of Jesus Christ. And every word Jesus speaks, He says, "My words are spirit and they are life." Here we have Jesus have become flesh, dwelt among us. And every word He speaks becomes spirit. And then Spirit works in every one of us who now believe. Isn't that awesome? That you are not alone. That you can walk with your head high. That you can walk conscious of the freedom you have, no matter what circumstance you're in. One thing I've learned through this Bible college so much is the word akaluthio. Such a great Greek terminology. And the way I've learned how Percy and Diane have taught akaluthio. You can walk with Chelsea like that. Yes, we walk with Jesus. But Jesus has given me someone, amen. I'm so blessed that I can akaluthio with someone who loves me as much as I love her. Before, I've always thought of that scripture as to follow me. To follow Jesus is to follow behind. And that's always been a thing. I've had that consciousness, and it's so hard. But when understanding how you walk with Jesus, akaluthio, meaning side by side, walking arm in arm, such a close relationship. He makes you feel strong when you're beside Him, when you're weak. Amen. And I like the words Jesus also encourages us in. He says, when you pray, say. Speaking is something I've learned through my Christian walk, to speak the things of God. In Proverbs 18, it says, a man's belly shall be satisfied by the fruit of his lips, and by the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, and those that love it will eat of it. So that's why it's important to right believing is right living, because then you speak right. Because most of the time you start to live your life by speaking. You create your path by speaking. And this is how I've learned when I've come to grace, to speak right. Ephesians 1:18, it says that the eyes of your heart be enlightened. Yeah, Paul's desire was that it become enlightened to the finished work of Jesus Christ, that now we inherit, amen? We inherit the much more, bigger, better. We look forward to these things. And so we live in a life full of joy, because no matter how much our circumstance might seem so real to you, you can see the word of God and He's faithful to finish it, that you can rest in that. That you can rest in the surety of God's word that He will do what He said He will do. Amen? God's love for you is greater than we can understand it. We can understand all of God's love in Jesus, and He's finished it. We are utterly loved by Him. He's gone to the cross and done it all for us. And now we're here to claim what is rightfully ours. Sometimes we don't see that. Amen? So I'm really, I don't know how, I'm overwhelmed by just the people I met this year. Sitting under Percy and Diane, for me, is such a great honor. I really enjoyed the time I was at Bible school, and also everyone that were there, just to encourage and pray and learn so much about this grace, the grace of God, the truth of how much and how deep God loves us. You know, it's made walk so easy now for me. Yeah. I've really come to understand the rest is, no matter how bad it might seem, when you trust God, there's a rest in you that you know it'll come through. You will see it. And you can stay there and be thankful. You can stay there and enjoy life. You can stay there and speak life to your children, to your friends, to your workmates. And it'll uplift them. And it'll give them courage. It'll give them boldness. Amen? So, you know, one other thing I've recognized today was this first time I remember meeting Chelsea in 2013 before going to Fiji. And we had this at the, was it at the Jindalee Hotel? And we were having something like this, and I was about to leave Fiji, and she was wearing the same dress she's wearing today. And I also received a certificate, and I'm receiving a certificate today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was my membership certificate. Well, we took the photo because Pastor Seed said, "Dan, come, let's take a photo with the brothers." And I still have that photo. And I called Chelsea over. I said, "Hey, come on, let's take a photo." And she said, "Nah, not me." And I'm saying, "Come on." And she comes over sheepishly and sits down. Yeah. And yeah. But no, I'm just saying, you know, how we recognize God in the day you're in and the people you're with, that you can really rest and now ready to receive what God has for you for tomorrow. Yeah. Amen. For your children, for your family. So we give God all the praise. I'll just stop right there. He's just so good. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Well, I'm just overawed by everybody getting up, speaking, and not having to look at notes. I'm not one of those people. I'm more of a writer. I can sit down and write. And I did in the other church. I wrote some articles for a publication. So please forgive me for reading. So, but I have been just so blessed to come to an understanding of the transforming power of our loving Daddy, Abba. And as we have sat through week after week of these lectures at Percy and Di's, you know, the love of God has just become so more evident in my life. And we have delved into many instances in Paul's life of God's unrelenting work in his life. God just wasn't going to let Paul be Paul. He had something greater for Paul than Paul had been the greatest teacher of God's grace, and he spelled the vastness of God's favour in all his journeys. He was just so zealous in getting the getting the Jews and the Gentiles to understand what, you know, just how much God loved both Jews and Gentiles. And there was an unquenchable urgency in Paul's commitment to God's call on his life. And he wanted them to grasp and understand just how rich and unfathomable God's love through his incomprehensible grace is. We cannot believe something unless we understand what it is all about. So as we focus our minds and meditate on the pureness of God's love for us, his desire to extravagantly bless us with the immeasurable riches of his grace, one's understanding and the most amazing transformation in every aspect of life becomes very evident. Paul was one of the most intellectually educated and cruelest to Christians men of his time, and he certainly would not have embraced something that had uncertainties in it. But when God stepped into his life, he went from being the persecutor of the church to the defender of the church through grace. This does highlight just how great and powerful God's love for his church is. In Ephesians we read, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, and even before he created the world, he loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God chose each one of us, and he not only chose us, but blessed us with all that is his. This does stretch one's imagination and understanding to know that even before God created the vastness of the universe, he chose each one of us, and not only chose us, but he mapped out our lives for us, and then he blessed us extravagantly and immeasurably with all that is his. This really does emphasize the goodness of his beautiful love that is saturated with his grace. He chose us for his loving purpose, and that purpose for us is to be holy, spotless, without any fault. And as he sees us, then he chose to pour his goodness lavishly upon us. He wants to prosper us in every arena of our lives, and it is through his love, so full of grace, so overflowing with compassion for us, that he wants us enjoying to the fullest health, happiness, true joy, loving relationships, and the list just goes on and on. In 2 Peter 1:3, Peter says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Amen. Paul in Ephesians says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for all who believe him. We clearly see in these verses, grace is God's divine power. It is his empowerment for us to do all we need to lead a very successful life through Jesus' finished work on the cross. For the word power, I will go into a Greek word here. Paul used the Greek word dunamis, and which means dynamite, mighty power. So how can we not stand on the victory dais when Jesus returns with the most beautiful gold, most valuable medal draped around our necks, amen, and with our hands in the air reaching to their highest, giving all the glory to our amazing, loving Abba Daddy who has poured out his divine on each, has poured out his divine love on each one of us. And just how blessed are we? Yes. Thank you, Percy and I, for your ministry.
Wow, a fantastic tag team match today, isn't it? Look, you've heard some wonderful messages today, some wonderful words, and I just want to I suppose after believing and receiving what the Lord did, I came to an understanding through what I got taught when Percy came up to Narangba. And it was, he taught about the two mountains, the two wives, you know, the two mothers, sorry, and the two sons, and the two covenants. And that's in Galatians 4. Okay, Galatians 4, it says here, 4:30, but what does the scripture say? Yep. Cast out and send away the slave woman and her son, for never, see this word never? It says never, never shall the son of a slave woman be heir and share the inheritance with the son of a free woman. Wow. The son of the slave woman, Ishmael, okay, the slave woman, okay? Law, yeah, here you go, is about law, okay? And Sarah, grace. It says it there. So I was in churches where I saw mixture, okay? And all it says it right here. Never shall the son of the slave woman be heir and share their inheritance with the son of the free woman. When I came to understand that, gosh, you know, I realized, what's next? What is it, you know? It's all about finding rest in Jesus. And you've heard it already today. So I just want to share with you quickly about some of you guys here are still worried or maybe anxious about tomorrow, about your finances, okay? Some of you about restoring relationships, okay? And some of you need healing, maybe it be physical or emotional, okay, in your lives. Matthew 6, 31 to 34. Therefore, what does it say, guys? Read it with me. Therefore, do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat? Or what are we going to have to drink? Or what are we going to have to wear? What's the next slide? No, the next one, sorry. For the Gentiles, heathen, wish for and crave for and diligently seek for all these things, and your heavenly Father knows well that you need them all. But seek, aim at, and strive after, interesting, but first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, and then all these things taken together will be given you besides. So, what? Do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for... Can you go back to that rest one? Percy talks about this one a lot, and this is a definition that I've got from him. He's talking about rest. And I really took this to heart. Rest is all about having a childlike trust in Father God. And knowing that what Jesus did on the cross was a finished and completed work. Yes. You know? It's beautiful, isn't it? Next one. Be the last slide. I've only got four, you see. There you go. Revelation 3, 7b. These are the words of the Holy One, the True One, He who has the key of David, who opens and no one shall shut, who shuts and no one shall open. Who is that? Jesus. For I know what he says. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and do not for evil. To give you hope and your final outcome. So what's the key? Rest. Relax. That's what it's all about. Matthew 6. Again? Or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own, sufficient for each day in its own trouble. So do not worry. Rest. Know that he's done it. He's completed it on the cross already. For you. For every one of you. And for those that even don't know about him.
Well done. Let's all stand together. We've been sitting a while, and we'll stand. And there's so many gems there. I think we give the Lord, you know, because he's the shepherd of the sheep. The Lord is our shepherd. Okay, we might have earthly people that help lead us, but the Lord is our shepherd. So let's give him a big hand, shall we, tonight. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. It's getting cold in here, colder and colder. And, you know, so we won't do Simon Says. We'll just pray. Okay, Father, thank you so much for the lives that you are touching. We pray for a tsunami of grace. Can you join with me in this prayer? We pray for a tsunami of grace to touch the church, churches, the families, the 25 million Australians or more now in this big continent, this big country. Over in Perth, right around, Lord, up Geraldton and going right up through, Father, to Darwin, Queensland, down into the territory, Uluru, across to Brisbane, down the coast, Lord, Gold Coast, and on, Lord, down to Newcastle. Father, that beautiful Hunter Valley region, and then into Sydney, down to Wollongong, Lord, and then right down the coast until you come to the Victorian border, and then sweeping across to Melbourne, Lord, and across to Adelaide, and on into Perth. We pray for the biggest reformation yet that this globe has seen, that the church then shall stand victorious. Stand in strength, because there's no better news than the gospel of grace to touch this country. We give you praise and applause, Lord, for the brilliant work that you have done. And we long to run with it across this nation. Bless every family here today. Put your hands up for blessing. Father, we hold our hands up for nothing more than your blessing across our country and our city and our street and our home, our families, our relatives and friends, that so many millions of them will come to understand the real essence of the gospel. There's only one gospel, the gospel of grace. That was the new covenant. That is the gospel. And so, Father, we thank you now for some warm cups of teas and coffee and some things to warm us up. We pray as we go down now to next week down into the heat of Oxley. Lord, we're moaning a little bit about the cold here, and then we're going to be saying it's all so hot down there. But we thank you for the good people of this church, Lord. We thank you for their maturity, and we thank you for the tremendous investment of their finances in the message of grace. We pray for our loved ones, because Jonathan's in us here in our northernmost branch at Ayr, Lord. And we pray for our dear brother in Townsville that's still making up their minds. And Father, we pray for the four new churches that we're going to start after the holidays. We pray for them in Singleton, in the Hunter Valley. Oh, you'll so bless that town, Lord, with a grace church. There's a big church there, Lord, with no pastor. And they're starting to understand the ministry of Joseph Prince, the gospel of grace. And they've asked us to come down and start a good grace church. Oh, God, may that be just a wonderful time. At Maroochydore, Lord, Maroochydore and what's the other place? Right next to Maroochydore. Huh? Yeah, Twin Cities, isn't it? It's Twin Waters, but there's Maroochydore, Malulabar, isn't it? So, Father, we pray for that area and pray for Robert and Julie as we start in their home next year. We pray for Toowoomba. We pray for northern lakes of this great city of Brisbane. Lord, the huge population there now. They don't have a grace church, but we pray, Lord, as we find a building, You will find it. And we thank you right now in advance. In fact, we're going to clap you, Lord, because we're resting in you. And we're going to clap you for the wonderful provision of a great church up there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. We're resting totally in you. And everybody said, amen. God love you and bless you. And thank you for being with us at this.